Hey everybody, Chris McCabe. Welcome back to Seller Performance Solutions. I'm here with Leah McHugh. How are you, Leah?
Good, thanks. How are you, Chris?
Doing okay. I'm here to talk about another charming, lovely topic around account deactivations. Kind of a strange one at a terrible time of year. I feel like we say that every October, but the Brazil account verification related deactivations. Many of these accounts, I think they're not even selling in Brazil, right? We talked to a couple of people about it.
Yeah, it's one of those like international accounts that Amazon just like added to everybody's account if they sold in North America.
It kind of, when they add you to a marketplace that you're not even sure you want to sell in, or like that you don't even know that you've been added to.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Because back in the day, people were clicking the global selling button and they were the ones adding themselves. But then just as many people come to us like, we didn't even try to sell in this marketplace, seemed to want us to. Lots of Brazilian accounts are failing verification. The issue is some people are just leaving it that way because they're not sure what's going on or not sure why it happened. And then it starts impacting their US or their Canada or some other account, right?
Right. Or brand registry, for that matter.
So do not leave these things to fester. This brings me back to the old 3-4 years ago when people had their Mexico account deactivated or Canadian account down for verification, and then they didn't care because they didn't sell in these regions, and then all of a sudden their US account was impacted. So
yeah, I would say actually most of the people that come to us who have had their brand registry revoked and don't know why, most of the time it is because one of their international accounts has been suspended and they didn't realize because they didn't actually sell in that account.
Yeah. So definitely be aware of what marketplaces are open or closed. Number one. Number two, don't leave it that way. I'm kind of surprised after all these years, we're still hearing from people like, we don't want to sell there. Can we just leave it? The answer is no. It's similar to people we heard from last summer that had review abuse account suspensions in the UK or Europe and then didn't care if they thought their US account was not related or connected because historically they haven't been. But nowadays, if you're suspended for a policy violation in one regional marketplace, what Amazon calls an org, then the other orgs could be impacted, the other countries that you sell in.
Yeah. And similarly, if you have multiple accounts and Amazon has related those accounts in their tools, one suspension can take down your other accounts as well.
Right. And if you leave it that way, another problem is that you're joining a long list of people. I mean, every day there's more sellers being added to this list, which means more appeals. So you're just waiting while the pile gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then you start appealing it and you get generic copy and paste messages that everyone loves.
Or just like days and days and days without a response. I mean, I can already see the other teams are slower than they were last month. So
yeah, some of that might be from Prime Day stuff or just, I don't know, with each passing week, things are going to be building up for the next month, right? Or two.
Yeah, the time of year.
And these things aren't foreign and unknown. I mean, this random verification failure, I think we had one in Australia a couple of weeks ago that we were looking at. US account was taken down. Sometimes it's just as simple as like, oh, we didn't update our address. So the documentation they asked for has our old address on it. Do something about that. Don't like expect, I guess what I'm trying to say is don't expect to explain it in a story that you put in a case and expect them to either care or understand it, because you out there and you sitting where you are and everyone knows as soon as we say it, what the result is. You're going to get a generic copy and paste answer that says your information isn't acceptable. They're not going to say specific info. You're going to call account help. Same thing we're always talking about. What really irks me is that it's becoming every type of suspension that has the same response by Amazon. It's almost like practically guaranteed when you submit it, if anything goes wrong, you're going to get a generic copy and paste answer that says nothing, that has no value, that has no information. That's step one. Step two is you're going to talk to support teams or account health reps. They're either going to say they don't know, or they can't find the info that you need, or they don't have access to it. Whatever the words are that happen on that call, the outcome is the same, which is you don't get another step down the path to resolution. And then step three is like, well, then you have to start drawing in as many resources from as many corners of the universe as you can, whether you're emailing things, talking to your SaaS core reps, if you have one that you're paying for, talking to somebody that you met at Amazon Accelerate last month, who knows, but that's when you have to start getting creative. It's unfortunate that you have to get creative so early in the process, but don't you think we're kind of getting to the point where almost every problem has that type of solution?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit different for verification. I think any sort of document request, Amazon just wants the document. They're not always great at reviewing the documents, but I do still see a lot of sellers who like don't have the document Amazon's asking them for. So then they send every other document that they can think of instead and think that that'll be accepted, and it won't. I mean, really the only case where you could not provide the documents is if you have proof that it isn't required for your specific product. In the case of account verification, that will never be the case. They need the documentation that they're requesting. Otherwise, they're not going to approve it. I still regularly see people send all kinds of irrelevant information when Amazon is asking them for very specific documentation. So my biggest thing, and I'm sure I've said this many times before, is read carefully what Amazon is requesting from you, because that's where sellers get stuck in this loop where Amazon isn't telling them what they're doing wrong, but they're not actually reading what it is that they should be doing.
Well, since they're so afraid to tell you what you're missing, when you send other stuff and that gets rejected, then you've created more confusion, because it's like, well, are they still missing the original documents they wanted that you didn't have? Or did they look over some of your replacement documentation, didn't like some of that, or it was conflicting, mismatched, incomplete, whatever, and they rejected that? Those are two different questions.
Well, I mean, I would say if they're asking you for three documents and you send them 40 documents, it doesn't matter if you have the right ones in there. They're not looking through 40 documents to try to find the right one.
I'm just saying you're making it harder for them to do what they need to do. And right. The easiest thing for them
to do is reject at that point.
If you send them a paper storm, then they're not looking at anything, because they're not going to look at 40 documents. Right. Let's be honest.
I wouldn't if I weren't there. If I asked for very specific information and I just sent a bunch of other stuff, I would also just reject.
Yeah. Which is why it got frustrating back in the old days when they started saying, give us invoices for this ASIN going back 180 days or going back a year. And it was just like a giant file dump. And then they would say, oh, but our systems aren't able to process a, you know, Google Drive link or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I still get that, actually. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, you wanted all this stuff. We didn't want to send it to you, but you demanded it.
For security reasons.
Yeah. I just think sellers got to the point where they believed with the advent of global selling, Amazon would have the ability to understand that you're going to sell in some marketplaces, some you won't, but it shouldn't disrupt your main account just because you're like, you know, in a pipeline or process to verify in a certain marketplace. I mean, that's a very kind of 2012 type approach to that.
So while we're talking about not doing things accidentally on international marketplaces, I would also suggest that you check to make sure that you don't have billed international listings turned on for marketplaces that you don't actually sell in, because product compliance is different in every country. We've had a lot of people who don't actually actively sell in a marketplace who then get suspended for restricted products because they didn't realize that their listings were being copied over to a different marketplace where those products don't meet the legal requirements. So just check all your marketplaces and make sure there's nothing there that's not supposed to be. And even if like the account is not supposed to be, make sure that you know which accounts are active and which aren't within your selling ecosystem, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. And then for a while, it looked like it was reps inside Amazon who were telling people to just copy their listings into other marketplaces, and that was triggering it. But we have heard from some people who were like, oh, I was working with an agency and they just told me to copy all my listings across all these marketplaces. And they didn't think about the consequences. So it seems like there's a variety of causes for that. But
yeah, I work, you know, because now on the account health dashboard, they give you the 12-month sales history for that ASIN.
I do.
I see so many accounts where all of their flags are for products that they haven't sold any in the last 12 months. And it's like you lost your account for things that you aren't even selling.
Yeah.
So
kind of crazy.
Just check these things.
Kind of crazy. Yeah. So, I mean, kind of short and sweet this week, but just keep an eye on this stuff, especially at this time of year, it's like a crazy reason to lose your main account just because something happened in your Brazilian marketplace or a related similar problem where just keeping an eye on things could have prevented it. I know we love to bag on VAs on this podcast, but
well, you do, but yeah,
I've noticed that some people are like, well, our VA saw that, but they didn't know what to do about it, and therefore nothing was done. It's like, okay, well, if they don't know what to do, at least talk to somebody who does know what to do. Don't just say, open a case, see if Amazon tells you what to do about it. They get a copy and paste answer, and then go back and answer that support case. You're wasting days, sometimes weeks, with this stuff. And it's usually, in my experience, and no, it's not always a VA who...
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that the person in charge of the VA is at fault there, but...
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, they've delegated that, whatever that role or task is, to a VA who does technically start working on it or trying to fix it, but they don't get very far. And so recognize that right away and do something about it instead of like, well, we got our VA working on it. They're going to solve it in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Like, okay, anything could happen in the next 2 days, let alone 2 to 3 weeks. And this isn't the time of year to play games with that. So if they start working on something, but it's just going in circles with support, as we all know, that's quite common. Jump in now, not later. I mean, it's kind of the same with compliance documentation, isn't it? To be like, don't just make one query or one attempt and then get stuck on day one and be like, well, we don't know why we got stuck, and then ask support why you're stuck. It's the same with account health too. With an appeal that gets rejected, it's like, it's not enough to just do the call, get their answer, and then say, well, we tried, but they didn't tell us anything else, so we don't know what to do. Recognize that you don't know what to do and do something stronger or more cohesive.
Or maybe make sure you read the notification correctly.
Mm-hmm. So in summary, read notifications. Yeah. Don't rely on your ChatGPT digest of performance notifications if that's what's going on. So thanks again for listening in. Thanks, Leah. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Chris.
And now that we're back in the same time zone, I'm sure we've got many wonderful episodes to come.
Well, I leave this time zone in 4 days, but sure.
That's right. That's right. You had to let that part out. Okay. All right. I'll talk to you next time.
Bye.